steps and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May we come to understand this message from our Holy Scriptures.
I am going to die. That shouldn't surprise you. You are too. You are too. You bet. We're all going to die. We may not know when, but it will happen someday. Death is really the great equalizer of all human beings. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you have, or how healthy even you try to be. The fact remains that all human beings will die. It's just the way it is. Many people try to suppress or ignore that fact and really try not to think about it at all. Some people find it a distasteful subject, and some people are even fearful about this subject. Me, I've been immersed in it really for about 10 days now, so it's just kind of on my heart and mind a lot lately. We shouldn't worry too much about it. Besides birth, it is the one guaranteed event of all lives, and it is totally natural. It can't be ignored because we all face it. And I have seen far too many situations where people have not thought about their own death or done anything to prepare for it. And this makes the acceptance of death when it comes far more difficult, and it leaves so much grief and so many challenges for those left behind. Sometimes I know it takes years for people to sort things out. And what does this have to do with our theme for Lent, finding the holy in difficult times? Well, I will say that there's nothing like meditating on your own death to bring about a stripping away of all that is unimportant, to focus on what really matters. Gaining clarity on what is most important to you clears the way for you to engage in what brings you more joy and purpose and meaning. And when you live in this place, more of the holy can enter into your life because you are doing those things that give you a sense of what you're all about. And if you can do this now, you will have a greater sense of what grounds you when you're going through hard times, difficult times. If you knew you were going to die soon, what would you do? Who would you spend your time with? And what would you like your legacy to be? If you really ponder those questions, they focus your life on what is really important. And spending your energy on these things immediately allows more of holiness to come in because you are living your life. When you're going through hard times, you're already practicing those things. So there's nothing like imagining our death that gives us some perspective about our lives. But Jesus then goes on to take this one step further. He says something very enigmatic. He says, in order for you to really, really live, You have to die first. What? What can that mean? What can that mean? How can you die and then live? And I'm not talking about the afterlife, whatever you believe that might be. Well, it is a strange concept, this idea of dying in order to fully live. I have come to believe it is absolutely true. In order to fully live in this life, you have to die to your life first. As I'm taking this soul guiding course, and in much of my reading and practice over the past year, I have been struck by this message that we have to strip everything of our exterior image away and strip down to our essence, our true selves, in order to find real life, the fullness of life that Jesus speaks about. It means we have to let go of or put to death what many call our false selves. Our false selves. What is a false self? Well, Richard Rohr, in his book Immortal Diamond, describes the false self. He says, it's your egoic self. It's who you think you are, which doesn't mean that is who you are. Your false self is this social and mental construct that gets you started on your life journey. But it is the container or the outer shell in which your true self resides. It may be necessary for you at the beginning and try to protect that image of who you are. And the false self relates to your identity, your appearance, your education, your job, your wealth or lack of, or success or importance, whatever. It's what people see about you and what you want people to see about you. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, it can help you to survive in the world. But this false self is truly not you. And it may get in the way of you becoming you if you cling to it too tightly. So you have to let it go in order to discover your true self. You have to die to your false self in order to discover your true self or the fullness of life. Many people will never understand what this means, and even few will embark on the journey to shed the false self because it's not easy. Anybody know the Sufi poet Rumi? He has a great poem about this, and he says, "Thus it is that eternal life is gained by utter abandonment of one's own self. When God appears to his ardent lover, the lover is absorbed in God, and not so much as a hair of the lover remains." The person is a true lover of God, to whom God says, "I am thine, and thou art mine." It is a really difficult concept, this dying to self. And doing it takes intention, work, patience, and deep self-reflection. And it is a lifelong journey. Yet to do so is to completely surrender to God in a way that actually gives us the fullness of what life actually is. You become fully yourself without any need to cling to any other image of yourself except being beloved and vibrantly alive. This is the thing about a person who is truly alive. They no longer need to project to the world anything but compassion and serenity and joy. And there is so much holiness and sensing of the holiness in this state that you know automatically that God is sustaining you. People who take this journey into your true selves are the most humble, gracious, compassionate, generous people in the world because they have nothing to prove, both to themselves or to anybody else. They're just fully, vibrantly alive. What Jesus was trying to tell us is death is not the worst thing that will ever happen to people. Not fully living is the worst thing that could happen to us. A mentor of mine recently said in a session, "I want to find the things that make me feel most fully alive and do more of those things." I want to find the things that make me feel most fully alive and do more of those things. We're all going to die. But let's be really intentional about living first. And to live with a deep sense of the holy residing within us. And to do that, we have to die to our false selves in order to find the self we were meant to be and to enjoy. If you want to be saved, if you truly want to be saved, Jesus says, you have to die first. What does that mean to you? To lose our life is to save it. What an amazing, incredible promise. So what are we waiting for? Let's just take a moment for reflection.